A new exhibition celebrating the 100th birthday of world-renowned photographer Gordon Parks opens on Saturday at the New York State Museum in Albany. Gordon Parks' 100 Moments showcases six decades of Parks' photographs, including numerous never-before-seen images, and perhaps his most famous photo, American Gothic, Washington, D.C., on display at the State Museum through May 19th. The stunning visual collection is organized by the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture. And here to tell us more is the director of the New York State Museum, Mark Schemming. Mark, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning.
I think I identified you this morning as probably one of our oldest and dearest friends on this program.
I hope so.
A delight have you back to tell us about this. Last night I was looking through, familiarizing myself with the works of Gordon Parks, because I will admit that the name did not mean much to me when I initially saw it. And then you see, of course, images that are iconic that you've seen before and just didn't make the name connection. But what beautiful, incredible work!
Yep, absolutely. And he's got an enormous body of work, and actually as a writer and a filmmaker and a whole number of other things. The exhibit, as you mentioned, was organized by the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture in Harlem. And just a little background, we were there installing the Emancipation Proclamation exhibition, and this was there. This was at the Schomburg. And working with Khalil Muhammad, their director, I said, you know, we'd love to have it in Albany. They have a major collection. There was a number of Gordon Parks exhibitions in the city last year, I think celebrating his what would have been his 100th birthday. So a few months later, here it is. We have this major exhibition of one of America's most important photographers at the State Museum.
His career is interesting because not only was he an incredible photographer, he was the first African-American ever to work for Life magazine. His career began in 1948, and if you think of that, that in and of itself is an amazing accomplishment.
There's a lot of firsts with Gordon Parks. He was the first black director to do a film with a major studio. He was the first, as you say, photographer for Life magazine. Prior to that, he was the first. The photographs we have on exhibit are from the early 40s, which actually precede the Life magazine work that he did. And he was the first black photographer hired by the Farm Security Administration. They were hiring photographers, famous photographers, Stieglitz, others, to go out and photograph the nation during these years of depression. And he became a photographer at the age of 25 and had a body of work, and they hired him to begin shooting. And that he did.
The thing that I find fascinating about this is not only, and we'll talk about the images themselves in a moment, but where he would go, because he was looking at most of these involve, I think almost all of them are portraits in some way of people, and they show them in various aspects of their lives, but it could be Kansas. It could be Harlem. It could be Washington. It's a fascinating tour through our country during this time period.
Mm-hmm. There's a universal nature to them. The signature thing I think he does, and the curator Deborah Willis talks about this, is, for instance, with the Ella Watson photographs, the American Gothic one you mentioned, he photographed this woman who was a cleaning woman in the building, in the FSA building in Washington. And then he eventually goes for home and photographs her, and goes to church with her and photographs her. And he really gets into the internal lives of these people at home and work and leisure. And it's just the internal lives when you're in their homes and at their places of work and all the thousands of things, and they're eating dinner. It's just a fascinating view and cut at a life that we don't get to see now, and he was dedicated to documenting this. So it's not just poverty. I mean, these are also uplifting pictures. There's a texture about them that's just tremendous. You get lost in them.
It seems one of the themes is relationships, because not only does he take these incredible, you mentioned American Gothic, which is an iconic image and certainly one that I'm sure many of our listeners would, if you Google it and look at it, you'll recognize it. Whether you have a construction workman in Washington or a portrait, even a self-portrait of Gordon Gordon Parks, I believe. There are these incredible photos of relationships, one of interracial activities at Camp Nathan Hale, where it's a black boy with a white boy, mm-hmm. or a husband and a wife going to church, or a policeman working with a child. The relation, even a woman and a dog. It's a fascinating look at the relationships. Yeah. That we have and had at that time, which are so strong.
Yeah, there's a photograph of two young black children with a doll, and it's a white doll, and they're cuddling it, and they're sitting on the floor with this thing, and it's one of those really telling photographs as well. You know, there's stories in every one of his photographs. He's obviously there's an affection for the subjects. He's very caring and sensitive about them and their lives and relationships. And just tremendous narratives with every photograph.
And again, this is 1942, yes. 1943.
Right.
Where were these being published?
Well, these were photographed for this FSA, this government project, and he photographed in Washington, D.C. and in Harlem. And then they were published and made available by the federal government. This is before although these greatly affected the work he did for Life magazine and others moving forward. But they were published by the government at the time as a cross-section of American Life.
And then you even see, being in Washington at this time, you get in New York, you get Marian Anderson, you get Langston Hughes.
Yes.
There's some incredible names that are that are a part of these.
He's so right.
100
one of the
moments.
Yes, one of the the exhibition is divided into series: is Harlem street scenes, Washington work, Harlem's children, spirituality, and portraits. And as you say, there's Langston Hughes, a number of important. The black artist in the 1940s, and some of them go as late as 1950 that he shoots. There's also a section in the exhibition of portraits of Gordon Parks by other photographers.
Yes, I said it was a self-portrait, and, which I take back. That was
sure he did, but he was quite the character and sort of a celebrity really by the time mid and late in his career, certainly in Harlem and in the country as an important filmmaker and photographer.
How does this, when you see an exhibit like this, and you talked a little bit about how it came to the museum of through the Emancipation Proclamation exhibit that you were putting on the road, at what point do you know that it's something right for your audience,
yeah.
for the State Museum?
Well, you know, we're the New York State Museum, so we're always looking for New York stories. And here's an important, a major American photographer who lived and spent much of his life in New York State and in Harlem, and here are New York themes. You know, when you talk about the state of New York, it often has national perspectives. So we were at the Schomburg. It's also a great institution in New York State, the Schomburg, which is just a tremendous cultural center as much as a library. So it also features this great institution in New York City that we have a wonderful relationship with. And so I saw the gallery, took a break from when we were installing it, and it just strikes you right away. This is something we like to share with new audiences. And they thought it was a great idea as well. So up it came.
I think it's funny because some exhibits, you know, you're working on for 5 years and other things come together very quickly.
Correct. So this was September we found this. And there was several exhibits in the fall, as I said, about Gordon Parks. He spoke at the State Museum in the late 90s. I think it was around 2000. I was looking for the date. And we had a sellout crowd in our Huxley Theater. And his work has been part of photography exhibitions in the past. But I believe this is the first one-person exhibition that we've done of his work.
Really beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
What's coming up at the museum? Because this is just one of many.
Yes. We always have our long-term exhibitions and special exhibitions that are opening for the State Museum. And for all New Yorkers, January and especially February is an enormous time. We have New York in Bloom opens on February 22nd, where we have dozens of floral arrangers come in and festoon the galleries with these outrageous arrangements among new exhibitions. It's a place to see some exciting visual things, learn something, and to stay warm.
And when does that happen?
That's February 22nd.
See, that's when you need to see things in bloom, because you're fed up.
Now you have hope.
This nonsense, this
right.
4 degrees below zero stuff.
So come get some springtime. You know, the Civil War exhibition is open for the year. Gordon Parks will be there. Seneca Ray Stoddard is still open, the Adirondack photographer. We're opening an exhibition with an artist, Woodstock era, his name Eugene Ludens, curated by the Dorsky Museum in New Paltz that we're bringing up. And there's New York and Bloom and the Gem and Minerals show. So this is all of these galleries will be full. There'll be hundreds of things throughout the galleries, and Gem and Minerals show up on Terrace. It's a great time to come.
I'm always fascinated by the relationship that the museums have with one another, and that sort of lack of competition and more of helping one another. But you mentioned the Dorsky Museum and, of course, the Schomburg Center.
Yes.
And how these museums work together. It's a fascinating collaboration. I assume you're all aware of what each other is doing and what the possibilities could be for your particular institution down the line.
We're working with the Birchfield Center in Buffalo. We're working with the New York Historical Society and these other art museums in the past. Every museum, I think, want to have a greater audience. And State Museum, our goal is to have presence across the state and bring things from across the state to Albany to the State Museum. And, rather than competition, it's another venue that I've yet to find a museum who doesn't want to participate and help in doing in our galleries. We also have an extraordinarily high attendance. And so we're exposing hundreds of thousands of people every year to these great collections across the state. So it's a great place to be.
One of the things that always fascinates me about the State Museum, and I know we've talked about this in the past, but I drive down there almost every night, and I go by, and the first thing you see when I make my turn is just this line of school buses.
Yes.
I chuckle about it every time I see it because I think of like you and your staff going, boy, all these kids. But also how great it is because in many cases you you are the gateway. You are the introduction to a museum for these children.
Yes, first of all, we see about between 40,000 and 50,000 school children a year.
That's
roughly
great.
Roughly half of them just show up, and the other half register and come and do a tour with a teacher and one of our great museum staff. We are the State Museum is part of the State Education Department, so that's central to everything we do. I think if you come to a museum in first grade, you have a great experience, you remember it for life, and you go to museums throughout your entire life. And we have this great facility, and we're able to do that and just reach tens of thousands of them every year. And I think it changes lives. I think they come away knowing more about the past and present of the state. So it's remarkable. The lobby's full of, and there's 200 kids down there. You know it. The acoustics aren't so good. Very exciting. And there's some hush when they go into the gallery, but they're seeing... You know what I love? They come to see Native peoples, but they're also seeing a 9/11 exhibit. Some of these kids weren't born at that time. And then they're seeing a photography exhibition to learn about the Mastodon. So there's a lot there.
There certainly is. And, of course, being the New York State Museum, you also realize, yes, of course, you have this incredible, you can draw from New York City and all that has, but from all corners of the state, of whether it be Rochester and what is done there, or Buffalo, or, of course, this region and the Adirondacks and so forth, it is so diverse and so wonderful that you get to pull.
We also have 15 million objects in our collection, so we're constantly rolling them out as well.
Find new places to put them, don't you?
Right.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
I want to remind people that the Gordon Parks 100 Moments exhibit is on display. It opens officially on Saturday at the New York State Museum and runs through May 19th. And it's a wonderful opportunity to see the work of this incredible photographer and just gorgeous stuff. 100 Moments, Gordon Parks at the New York State Museum. And, of course, New York and Bloom is coming up at the end of February. Mm-hmm. And all kinds of great exhibits happening at the New York State Museum, and which is nysm.nyse.gov.
Yes.
Is that right?
You got it.
Okay, excellent. To find out more information, Mark Schamming, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much
for being
with us. Have a wonderful late winter, early spring, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.